Welcome, everyone, to another edition of Community in Depth. We are thrilled to have on the phone with us today Chris Jenkins. He is the Parks and Recreation Director for the City of Hastings, and we could not be more thrilled to chat about all the good things going on in his department. Chris, how have you been?
Well, I've been doing very good. Thanks for having me. Happy to talk about the Parks Department.
Well, I love it. So the Parks Department, for people that don't know, what does that all include, please?
The Parks Department, oh boy, what do we got? We've got our Park Maintenance Department. So they do all things out in our 37 parks and 30 miles of trails and other facilities. We've got our Hastings Family Aquatic Center. And we've got our Hastings Civic Arena, which is our two-sheet ice arena. We've got sports and recreation, and that's Phil Vargas, who does all of the pickleball leagues, sand volleyball leagues, bags leagues, all that fun stuff in the summer. And we've also got our Levee Park programming, which is Paige Marshall Bigler, and all of the events that happen down there, whether it's movies or concerts or comedy or story time. All of that is Paige and Donald Levee Park.
Well, let's talk first about the summer that you just came off of. And Paige did a great job over the course of the summer just lining things up. And I know that there was a recent presentation to the City Council about the breadth of what went on at Levee Park. Do you want to give us a little update on that, please?
Yeah, absolutely. Getting through some of the notes that I've got here, I think this year they had about 25 events down there, and that's between the summer kickoff and the end of the season, kind of late September. Again, that's movies in the park, that's comedy in the park, story time in the park. And then this year, where it used to be just music in the park, this year it was music and market, and that was every Thursday for the first, I think, three Thursdays of the month. And that was a fantastic ad. Sounds like all of the vendors and the visitors that came down loved that addition this year. It seemed fantastic. And this year was our 10th year of programming down
wow.
there. And I think record attendance again this year with over 9,800 people that came down to those events. And those are just the ones that Paige was able to count when she was down there.
Mm-hmm.
So I always tell her she undercounts a little bit, so I'm sure it was more, but at a bare minimum, there was 9,800 people that came by this summer and enjoyed something on the riverfront there.
And Chris, you mentioned this is the 10th year of that programming there. That really has to exceed your expectations of what this could look like when you thought about this 10 years ago.
You know, back when we first started doing this and the Riverfront Renaissance Project, we knew that community programming was one of the things that Hastings was missing and that the Parks Department could step up and take care of. And that came to fruition with the hire of Paige, right? When we brought her on because of, just who she is and her experience and her drive for community programming and planning all those really cool events. And boy, has she stepped up year after year after year and just continues to do a fantastic job and exceeds expectations every single year. So she is the one. She does it all. I try and stay out of her way and let her do her thing and support her however I can.
Well, and you talk about the support. I know that you have a lot of sponsors that support those programs, certainly the city, but it really is such a wonderful thing for the residents of Hastings. And if people that are listening have not ever taken part in some of the summer programming, there's something for everybody.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, there's, we try to do multi-generational, try to do, some stuff for the younger kids, like story time, younger kids and young families.
Mm-hmm.
And we see a lot of grandparents that are bringing their grandkids down there for that kind of stuff as well. Family-friendly stuff, and then, all the music and everything that we do down there is really family-oriented for all ages. And Paige does, again, a fantastic job in screening all of that and evaluating it and picking who it is that she wants to be down there and participate and put on a show here in Hastings. Yeah, you mentioned our sponsors, Rotary Club, sponsor of Riverfront Renaissance and the pavilion that's down there. The Ruth and George Doffing Fund, they sponsor every year. Ardent Mills is a big sponsor, Smead is a big sponsor, and quite a variety of other, whether smaller or if they come down with a group of employees and help volunteer for the day, sponsor us that way too. So there's a lot of community support with this.
Well, it's awesome. So another thing that you had to put an end to because fall is coming was the Aquatic Center, another wonderful, wonderful asset in our community. Tell us a little bit about how the summer went.
Sure, yeah. Another fantastic summer. You know, talking to Teresa, our manager over at the Aquatic Center, got some stats in front of me here that I was able to find. It looks like, you know, for general admission, we're right around 17,000 people that came through general admission.
Wow.
That does not include the people that buy punch cards and season passes.
That's amazing.
Yeah, no, it's fantastic.
Wow.
You know, and then we do big group reservations, you know, a bunch of that for, oh, like YMCA day camps from other communities and all sorts of different day camps from other communities. I mean, we've got people that come from, you know, 50, 60 miles away to come to our aquatic center for the day. And, you know, sometimes they'll bring buses full of, you know, 150 kids that come and swim and take part in our aquatic center. So those are fantastic. And then our swim lesson program, that continues to grow every year, and we're just shy of 1,000 participants in our swim lesson program during the summer. So,
well, and I know we use our parks. You mentioned we have 37 parks in Hastings. I think that number would surprise a lot of people, but I think Hastings has done a really great job of, as the city has grown, to really keep park space available for newer developments, and a park is nearby for everybody. So 37 parks. There were some, I know that you had some projects going on in. Do you want to tell us about that, please?
Yeah, I'll tell you, I mean, a little bit about our park system. Like you said, 37 parks, and what that boils down to really is there is a park within a half a mile of every home in the city limits of Hastings.
Come on, that's a cool statistic. Wow.
It is, yeah. That has intentionally been done, right? We've got our the city's comprehensive plan, and the park comprehensive plan is part of that. So every time there is a new development, we look at that to make sure that there is a park within a half a mile. And yeah, so it's been set up well, and we try to maintain that and hold true with that. But we get some projects going every now and then with those parks. Because there's a lot of them, there's a lot of needs, so we're not able to get to every park when we want to. So some of the equipment's a little bit older, but Lake Isabel Park was recently completed right about a year ago with that renovation. You know, that was a long project. Some contaminated soils we found when we were digging holes, so we had to take care of that. But yeah, it turned out to be a really good park. The neighbors were involved with that, the neighborhood organization out there. They sponsored, kind of donated money, about $25,000 to that park renovation project. So they've been great partners as well. So it's nice to kind of have that one updated and refreshed and have some good community input on that. Lake Rebecca Park, we're still kind of in the middle of that. I mean, probably on the tail end of that. It might not seem like there was a whole lot done, but there was a whole lot done. You know, it doesn't have play equipment and big structures, but we got two brand new parking lots down there. They're kind of realigned, so they're better able to be used. We did some turf renovation down there, so we're not going to be mowing a bunch of grass down in that area. It'll be more native and natural, which is kind of what Lake Rebecca has turned into over the years. It's not the swim beach and that kind of thing that it was in the mid to late 80s and even into the early 90s. It's changed down there, and the way the community uses it has changed. Still a very good fishing lake down there for folks, so plenty of people go and enjoy that. There is an accessible paddle launch, so for canoes and kayaks, those sorts of things. That was part of this project. Lake Rebecca is still a fantastic fishery. Lots of people get down there both summer and winter to use that area and catch some fish. We got some solar lighting down there in the parking lot and a few other upgrades as far as, you know, trails and connectivity and stuff through there. So that's been a good project. Some of the stuff that people probably won't see is the natural resources side of that project. So kind of everything between Lock and Dam Road to the south, to the lake there, and all the way over to the west, to the sand dam. A bunch of that area has been kind of gone through and removed some invasive species of trees and grasses and forbs and planting that stuff back in more native habitat just to have a better habitat in that area, which is fantastic.
Absolutely. Well, another wonderful asset for our city. And then you mentioned also some of the other big assets that are part of the city's infrastructure, and that one of those is the arena. And you had a big project going on there, I know. But first of all, let's talk about the new hires. You have a brand new team, and I have to tell you, couldn't be more excited for both of these gentlemen.
Yeah, and we're certainly excited, one, to keep Corey Onken and promote him from the assistant manager position, which he held for about 9 years, to the manager of the Civic Arena. So, yeah, he's been a fantastic person in that position, and we're super excited to see what he does with the arena. And then Michael Klimek, we were able to hire him as the assistant arena manager a couple of months ago now. But again, another fantastic ad, another local guy here that has put hours and hours into that arena on a part-time basis for the past 15 years. He's been with us. So another enthusiastic and dedicated arena person, and they are a special breed, and we love to have them.
What does that mean, they're a special breed? I do agree with you, but I'm not sure what that means.
It means they love everything that happens on the ice, and they love all the techie stuff that goes along with the ice. Like, what temperature do you keep the ice for figure skating or for hockey? And if I've got this many games going on and this amount of time for a resurface, what do I need to keep the temp at? And you know, all sorts of stuff with that. But
I think people would be surprised at really what goes into, you know, the engineering of making the ice ready. You know, people just show up for either to observe a game or something, or for practices, and there's a lot of moving parts to that arena.
There is a lot of moving parts, and actually, thankfully for us, and most of it is brand new right now too, and that was the project that you were alluding to, which has been about 2 years now in the works. It's all wrapped up now, and everything is operating, but we were able to remove the old R22 refrigeration system. R22 was the refrigerant, and that was becoming harder and harder to find. The manufacture of R22 was banned in the U.S., and the import of R22 was also banned. So the only source you had was either the R22 that was sitting in bottles on a shelf, or you could get it reclaimed when somebody was taking it out. But we updated that refrigeration system to an ammonia refrigeration system, much more efficient. So our electricity bills should be going down. We were also able to add, can't remember the kilowatts, I think it's 160 kilowatt solar on top of that west rink roof, which is a flat one. You really can't see it unless you're looking for it. Kind of hides behind the parapet walls up there, but that roof is full of solar panels, and that ties directly into the building. So whatever energy it makes, we use at the arena, and if it makes more than we use, which might happen in a summer month, that just turns our meter backwards, so we don't pay for that electricity. But to put that solar on that roof, we had to have a new roof. That one was a little over 20 years old and had lots of problems and lots of leaking. So we got that replaced as well.
That's awesome. Chris, I think that people also would be surprised at how much the arena is used year round.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, in the winter months, so they just put ice in the east rink, or the old rink, the original rink, last week. So we've had ice in that for a week now, and the other rink we had going, I think we had that going all summer long, if I remember right. But yeah, usually we keep ice on the west rink for most of the summer, and then in the east rink we put turf in there. So there's indoor soccer, and there's baseball practices and softball practices, and all sorts of other activities that happen in there.
It's really great to see. And another thing I know that you are involved in personally is Minnesota Hockey Day coming up. Tell us a little bit about that, please, and congrats. That's really nice that you're involved in that committee.
Yeah, absolutely. Hockey Day in Minnesota 2026 here in Hastings, out at United Heroes League, just east of town off a Ravana Trail. The official date, January 24th, I believe, is Hockey Day, and from the Sunday before that, we'll have activities going on, whether it's high school games or some military appreciation stuff. We'll have something going on every day for 8 days, I think, before Hockey Day Minnesota itself. And it's been fun. There's a lot of really good people that are involved in the committees. There's a lot of really strong partnerships and sponsorships that have been happening, and things are it's quick approaching now, and we'll start seeing some stuff happening out there that draw a little more attention to it. But United Heroes League is fantastic, and the facilities that they have out there already. So it's been kind of a little bit easier than some of the other places, right? They have an ice rink out there already, so we don't have to worry about getting one of those in there. They've got some permanent seating, a project that they're just wrapping up right now. So their infrastructure is helping that out a lot. And in the end, it's going to be a fantastic event and a fantastic kind of fundraiser, if you will, for United Heroes League and Hastings Hockey. So they'll split whatever the proceeds are, 50-50 in the end. So there'll be a little bit of a cash injection for that, as well as dragging many thousands of people to Hastings for that event in the hopes that, they visit local businesses and stay in local hotels and eat dinner here, eat lunch here, and just kind of hang out and enjoy Hastings.
Chris, any last thoughts you want to share with our listeners?
You know, I'd probably be a little remiss if I didn't give a little shout out to Dakota County for our trail system. We've got two Dakota County regional trails, Greenway trails, actually, here in Hastings. One is the Mississippi River Greenway Trail, and the other is the Vermilion River Greenway Trail. And frequent users of our trail systems will probably have noticed over the past couple of years, the Vermilion River Greenway Trail is brand new, and Dakota County invested about $2.5 million on that project, which is fantastic. Hastings residents get to use that, and obviously other people too, but it is something that the city of Hastings itself doesn't have to take care of and doesn't have to pay for with our own city budget. So another great partnership with Dakota County on those.
I agree. Chris, thank you so much for your time today. We really appreciate it. Chris Jenkins is the Parks and Recreation Director for the City of Hastings, and get out and enjoy some of the wonderful facilities and parks that he just chatted about. And you are listening to another edition of Community in Depth on AM 1460 and FM 97.7 KDWA in Hastings.
Let's go.